be life changing.
I get that. Honestly, I get that.
Yeah, you perform CPR.
Can't even invest in. Remember?
No, I'll take the 7 million shillings. I'll go to medical school and then come save them.
Kenya police come and find him like still holding on to like 3 million. By the time he goes to OC, is he hearing, oh, we recovered 200,000? Ikonene. Episode 570. Tukusema like, subscribe, hit the notification button, tell a friend to tell a friend. Sindio?
Yeah.
Na leo tukona one of the top comedians hapa Kenya. Tukona David Macharia. And maybe need to invite David Macharia because there was a video that was going around.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Harmonize. Yeah. And Harmonize was using a foreign accent.
Okay.
So tukamua, let's invite the head of fuck. Foreign Accents Committee Kenya.
He was using my accent. He was like, let me be David Macharia for a second.
Yeah. So did you watch the video?
I couldn't find it. I looked for it on our Big Gossip Club.
Yeah, it was just one of those funny things. And this is the one thing I'm always curious about is every time I listen to you, I hear the accent. So did you, was it growing up here, going to school here, or outside Kenya?
Yeah, I got this accent from Nigeria.
I know.
No, but so here's the thing, right? So I was born here. My parents are from Kenya.
Yeah.
And then when I was like 4 or 5, we started moving to different countries.
Okay.
We were in, Eritrea first, Burkina Faso, and then we went to the States, and then we went to just a bunch of different other countries.
Okay.
And everybody in these international schools, the American schools, they all sound like this, like the teachers, the students.
Mm-hmm.
So like when you're learning English, it's like, this is who you're learning it from.
Mm.
And I understand that there's like, I guess, questions about like, why would you speak in a way that isn't like, I guess, natural to your people.
Mm.
But like nobody who like has a foreign accent is like, it's not like a pleasant experience to
mm-hmm.
have to like, learn English in a way that's like you're not at home. Cause even like, I guess like for us, it's like, okay, we're African. So like there's the perception of like, oh, you're trying to like be better. But it's that's not the case, because even like the British children in these American schools, even they had American accents.
American accents, yeah.
It's just like, it's like wherever you are, you know?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So these are interesting, like international schools, like even in Eritrea.
I was too young for school in Eritrea, but in Burkina Faso, it's like, yeah, we were in an American international school.
Yeah. So your dad used to work for who? Moi or Kibaki?
No, dude, he used to work for this NGO called CRS, Catholic Relief Services.
Oh.
And so every few years, he was just like repositioned to somewhere. And we would all just like move with him, me and my mom and my brother. And I think when I was like 17, I was like too old.
Yeah.
So like now I was okay, I gotta like go to college and stuff. So he kept moving. He was in Uganda and stuff, and then we just like stayed put here in Kenya.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you use Kenyan accent maybe to get yourself off some situations?
I do, bro.
I do. Yeah. Okay.
But like sometimes it's like code switching, you know? So like sometimes I wouldn't even like notice, but if I'm calling like a boda,
Yeah, yeah.
Boda. I'm calling a boda, yeah. And then like I'm on the, he's like, ukwapi? I'm like, ah, nikwapa, then he's Gitanga Road. So like it just like sometimes it's just like it's easier to communicate certain things that like I don't even notice it's happening, because like Swahili was my first language, but when I moved to Burkina Faso, it was all French, so I had to learn French, and I was like, I'm a dick now, but I was even much more of a dick when I was 5. So I was like speaking to like people in Burkina Faso and Swahili, and I'm like, "Atasijui unasamanini." And then my dad was like, "You know what? No more like we have to like learn the language, learn the culture. It's like no more Swahili."
Huh?
And then my Swahili just like,
yeah, because that's the funny thing. I think a lot of people don't realize that before the internet, if you left Kenya and went to a country that does not speak Swahili, you are fucked. Like you could actually forget Swahili, like forget, because
yep.
you can go for days, months without speaking a language.
Yeah.
And with time it starts fading. But right now, because of the internet, that's when it's hard. Like right now you go anywhere, the music is there.
Movies
are yeah. there. Like right now, forgetting a language is much harder than back in the days. Yeah.
You know, when we were in Burkina Faso, we were when we got there, there was one other Kenyan family in the whole country. So they left, and then we were the only. There was four Kenyans in the whole country.
Mm.
When people would land at the airport from Kenya, they would tell them like, "Oh yeah, there's a Kenyan family here." Mm. Like that's how like people knew that we were there.
Mm.
And so, like, there's no one to even talk to in Swahili.
Yeah.
So, other countries I've lived in, there was always Kenyans. And we could always just, like, hang out and, like, do stuff and talk with each other.
Mm.
But the first spot, there was no one to talk to in Swahili.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, let's listen to this guy. And then you can rate his accent. Because I don't know why they do this, but TZ artists are, like,
harmonizes from Tanzania.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, let's listen.
There's some people been commenting online and be like, yo, atakuja siku kwenye show, sio nini. Mimi nikiona watu wana complain hivyo, naona tu kwamba tumefika in a situation as a nation we never been there, so atujui mchawi ni nani wa complain. As a nation we never been this point, you understand? Before December 29, hakukuwa na Mtanzania yote ambaye kwa against government. And that's why you saw all the artists, we were so comfortable to support government and all that. Support our president and all that. You feel me? So what happened? No one planned it. We didn't know that's gonna happen. You understand? So, as nationals, it's a time to get together, understand? Na kilichotokea kiamtu kimemfunza kwa namna yake, understand?
You understand? So,
what you feel me?
You feel him.
That's
not even bad. Like, I played the wrong video. It's just that he was still speaking in English, so I had to keep playing the video.
Mm.
This is the video I was looking for. This one now.
If you mention my name under him, I'll sue you. I'll open a case. Because you can't keep mentioning my name under somebody. You can't keep mentioning my name under damn one every day, bro. Like, I'm grown. I'm a big fish, bro. Like, I have everything. You understand? You can't mention my name under him. And this message goes to everybody. Nataka kila mtu asikie loud and clear. Do not mention my name under him. You understand? He doesn't deserve that. You understand? Yeah, he brought me in again, man. We do understand and appreciate that. By the end of the day, he asked for his money. And even more than extra. And I pat him back. Kama ya haitoshi, always look at me, what I'm doing. Where is my label?
So what do you feel about being in the same group with this guy?
I don't think we're in the same group. That's
the
like
foreign accents committee.
That's just like someone like trying his best to speak English, I feel like.
Yeah.
What's the thing? Like, I feel like there's like beef between Kenya and Tanzania when it comes to like how I guess proficient people are in English, huh?
Yeah.
I feel like Kenyans are always making fun of Tanzanians for not speaking good English.
Yeah, because I think for us, we've just accepted, like in quotes, our accent.
Mm-hmm.
And Ugandans have accepted their accents.
Mm-hmm.
But Tanzanians are obsessed with the American accent. Like they tried so much. And now they end up like sounding ridiculous. So someone was joking that they learned the accent before the language. So even like you had the place where he's saying, because it's my wife was telling me it's a direct translation.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to open a case.
Tafungua case.
Oh, you understand? Like, so it's
don't fine. Mention my name under him.
Yeah. Sitaje jina yangu chini yake.
I'm there like, what are you saying? Yeah.
I don't know, man. Like, they were colonized by, like, the Germans, right?
Yeah.
Why don't they speak German? Because, like, we were colonized by the British. We speak English. Yeah. Why don't they speak German in Tanzania? Could you imagine speaking Swahili with a German accent? Or speaking German with a Swahili accent?
Yeah, that would be wild. That would be wild.
The funny thing, Schule is school in German.
Ah.
Yeah. Schule. I think I had that. Yeah. Schule. Because German is complex, man. It's like one of those really weird. So you can speak like fluent French.
It's like my Swahili. Like when I'm in a spot where like I can like practice a lot, then like it comes out. But like now I have to like think and like do the translation in my head. But if I'm like in an environment where like that's all that's available, it'll just come out.
Okay. Yeah. And then another thing I have to ask you, like, there's a day we were joking when we were saying, like, back in the days, we all, in quotes, all wanted to go to America so that when we come back, we can look for a job on Capital FM. So tell me you've applied for a job on Capital.
I haven't. I've done a few interviews. I'm very good friends with some of the hosts. But, like, I have heard about, like, the Capital FM accent.
Yeah.
Yeah. but like
Capital,
but like those people are like they're yeah. like my good friend Wanjira, she's from New York, so it's like
that's why I'm asking, like, why didn't they give you a job? Like, not they.
I don't know. I it's probably not Max. It's probably because like I'm not an employable person. Yeah.
Why you didn't kiss enough ass there? Go smile.
It's not even that. It's just like I don't. I'm a mess. like. I don't like that's why I do stand up because like I work well by myself. I can't have a boss. I have a boss now. He's a very bad boss, and that's because I'm self-employed. And I'm always just doing stuff that isn't conducive to a big group of people. Yeah.
Okay, so you've never held a 9-to-5?
No. The one time that I did have, like, I was employed, it wasn't even 9-to-5, it was like it was like a night shift job. I was like at a call center. And again, I got that job because of my accent. Yeah. So we were doing, we were selling solar panels to people in California.
Oh, okay.
So because of the time difference, we were working from like
at night,
8
yeah?
to 4 a.m. or something. So, and that was okay for me because like I wake up at 2 p.m. sometimes.
Yeah.
And then I go to work, whatever. And like, it was perfect for my schedule. But now I just do comedy and I get to just like, again, just work at night. I've only ever worked at night. Yeah.
Cause that I'm sure people in India were mad at you. Cause that's their job.
And I had an Indian boss too.
which,
you know, duh.
But that one was here in Nairobi.
Yeah.
Oh, so like where was the call center? Like where
was,
did you get
it? It was this place, you know, DOD.
Yeah.
Yeah, so right opposite DOD, this place called Technobrain.
Oh.
And it's like it's a business public outsourcing thing. So like the project wasn't Technobrain's. It was just like, you know, companies were around the world or even in Kenya, they need call center agents and they had them and that's who we were.
So which accent were they paying you with? The American one or the kuja tufanye kazi ya joji?
Don't switch.
What I mean is like what did the salary match the accent?
I mean, oh, yeah.
Just a bullshit.
And
salary.
Then so it was like, I mean, it wasn't the best salary, but we were also getting paid on commission. So every meeting, actually we weren't even selling solar panels. We were just setting up meetings for homeowners in California and we had to like ask them a bunch of questions. And then if they met the standard or if they were even like interested in talking to us, we just set up a meeting. So every meeting we set up, we would get like 5,000 shillings per meeting. So that's on top of the salary. And
how much was the salary?
I don't know, like 30 or
something. Oh, 30 years.
Yeah.
Okay. And then like how many, like the best month that you did, how many minutes did you set up? How many?
Maybe like 17, maybe.
Oh, that's not bad. Not bad.
This was years ago. This was way before I even did comedy. So this was like 7 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah, that's and I haven't had a job since. Yeah.
Oh, so why did you quit? Because of comedy. Comedy's at night, yeah?
No, because I was like 20 years old at this point. So I started the job when we were on break from college, from school.
Yeah.
And when school started, I was just like, okay, I can't do the job and be at school at the same time. So I just went back to school.
Okay. That makes sense. And another thing I have to ask you, like, are you a hip-hop fan?
I love hip-hop.
So the Diddy documentary, have you watched it?
Oh, my God. What the fuck?
Yeah.
Yuck.
I think the only guy is this one. Yeah, no, you have to go to Netflix because he's also a big hip-hop fan.
You haven't seen the Diddy doc?
Just snippets of it. I'm just cut out.
I watched the whole thing last Saturday.
Yeah.
It's the most disgusting thing I've ever seen. Dude, here's my thing though, right? Everybody in the documentary, they're saying, yo, P. Diddy did this. We heard him do this. But they were there the whole time. Like the guy, like the one guy who started Bad Boy with. Like, I never saw Diddy.
With a baseball bat.
I see. I never saw Diddy hit Kim, but I was outside of the room when I knew it was happening. And you waited all these years to be like, oh, by the way, this is a bad guy.
I think that was the bodyguard, I think. The one who said like he'd be outside hearing him hit her. But I think we'd also have to look at that from the perspective of hip-hop in the 90s. Like, now I think you, because I had you quote Mos Def, yes?
Yeah.
But the way you've talked, like you're much... much younger. Like, have you?
I was born in 98.
Yeah, you see. So for us who like were listening to hip hop in the 90s, hip hop in the 90s was very misogynistic, yes?
It still is.
Yes, but in the 90s was worse.
Of course, yeah.
Because right now, because of the cancel culture, it's brought the shit down.
Yeah.
So in the 90s, we had ain't no fun if the homies can't get none. You understand that shit? Running trains on girls. So women were bitches and hoes, like 100%.
Yeah.
I feel like in the 90s, it was more bitches and hoes than right now.
And
so with that, Diddy could get away with a lot of shit because these are bitches, these are hoes.
But like, it wasn't just the 90s, though. Like, he was still fucking up in 2005, 2010, yeah, yeah. 2015.
Even 2016, like when he was beating up, it was 2016.
It's like, even, like, I don't think it's because of cancel culture that hip-hop has, like, become, like, I guess more... progressive. I think it's just like people are getting healthier.
Yeah.
Like as humans, like, you know, there's always going to be progress. And I don't think it's because of cancel culture.
Okay.
I think it's just because like we're learning more about each other and like the human condition. So like it's going to evolve, which like even like, we're talking about Mos Def. What's the song? Definition.
Yeah.
In Definition, he goes, cats be claiming they hard, be mad fags. That's the most Def bar.
Yeah,
he's not. I don't think he's saying that to like right now. And that, and that's a conscious rapper. So like, hip hop was like, not just hip hop was crazy. Like the world was crazy.
Yeah,
the world has never been as safe as we would like it to be.
Yeah.
But still, everybody that was in P. Diddy's peripheral, they were like, "This is bad."
Okay. So I have to ask you, like, what shocked you the most? Because I'd say what shocked me the most personally was learning that he might have, he was involved in the deaths of both Tupac and Biggie. Like, how wild is that? Like, in my wildest dreams, if I was writing a fictional movie, I'd not have thought that the guy who killed Tupac is the same guy who killed Biggie. You understand? Like, you'd be like, nah.
Well, okay, so here's how I understood the Biggie part of the story. It wasn't that like they didn't say he killed Biggie. It's just that Biggie felt unsafe in California, like on the West Coast, and Diddy didn't care that Biggie was unsafe. It didn't seem like he orchestrated the hit on Biggie the same way they're saying he orchestrated the hit on Tupac. It just seemed like he was like negligent in taking care of him. That's because I don't think they tried to. I think like obviously it was produced by 50 Cent. 50 Cent doesn't care about.
Yeah.
I don't think 50 Cent cares about these victims.
Yeah.
I think he just hates P. Diddy. Because even 50 Cent is kind of like not the best person.
Yes.
Yeah. So I think they made Suge Knight seem like such a good guy. They made Tupac seem like, they made Biggie seem like a scared little child. But like, have you heard a have you heard a Biggie lyric?
Yeah.
He's not a good guy. But
compared to Diddy, everyone is a good guy.
Compared to Diddy, I'm Jesus.
Yeah. Like Diddy's a...
Just saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, so you didn't feel like... Because from what... When I heard that Biggie tried to leave immediately. You remember that part where after I think they were through with whatever they were doing? Biggie had even... I don't know if it's booked a flight, but he was out.
He was supposed to go to England for European press.
Yes. And Nani kept insisting that he stay.
Yeah.
And then... somehow mysteriously they are not in the same car when he's getting shot. So those are the things that make me feel like, and I remember also he'd renegotiated his contract, so he had this whole new contract that he'd renegotiated. And don't forget, after Pac died, he sold a lot of records. So you see, Nani will see all this stuff. He'll see like, okay. So that's what, for me, and I think a lot of people, we felt like he was also involved in Biggie's death. But I understand, like, you know, it's open to interpretation. So,
Even Biggie's concert, I've seen the snippets. They were saying like he was celebrating like it was like his rebirth. It's like this, someone has died who's probably the closest person in music industry to you.
Yeah.
Then you're coming out.
Actually, no. That was the thing. In the doc, they said that.
In a celebratory mood.
They said that Diddy wanted to make him and Big seem closer than they actually were.
Mm.
That, like, Diddy was jealous of Pac's and Biggie's relationship.
Yeah. Mm.
And he wanted to be tight with Biggie. And they just, like, it appears to us like they were, like, homies or, like, best friends. But, like, that's not what the situation was.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was really... what shocked you the most from the doc? Because you just said that he's a filthy human. Like, what
bro,
did you feel like?
So, like, the thing is, like, all this information came out, like, a year ago, I think, right?
Yeah.
So, like, by the time I'm watching the documentary, I wasn't shocked. A lot of the stuff I knew and we've heard about for years, actually years and years ago. Like, when I was in high school, there was always rumors that Diddy was gay.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, okay, now we're all catching up. Mm-hmm. But what shocked me the most, it wasn't even in the documentary. It was like a bunch of stuff. Actually, what shocked me the most was like the death of Kim Porter wasn't really addressed because people think...
He was involved in that.
He was involved.
Yeah.
She died of pneumonia, like what, 40-something? Mm-hmm. That's not... Like no one's done that since Bernie Mac.
Yeah.
What shocked me the most was a year ago or like a few months ago, I was reading some of the like the accusations or the allegations. They said Diddy fucked P. Diddy's, Diddy fucked Kid Cudi's dog.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, that day that we went to the house and...
When Cudi was in there.
Yeah.
Blew up Cudi's car, went inside the house, unwrapped the Christmas gifts.
Hmm.
And then Cudi said that when he got home, his dog was like locked in a bathroom and was like shaken and afraid.
Hmm.
And they're saying that he fucked Kid Cudi's dog.
Damn. So he was like,
dog pal.
Yeah, you know. Also, it's like, you fuck my bitch, I fuck your bitch. Oh, like, shit.
Bitch,
dude, imagine being the girl that P. Diddy hooks up with after fucking a dog.
Damn, man.
And you don't even know.
Like, also, did you hear the part where they say that he slapped his mom?
Yeah.
Was that like, damn.
After, like, the thing in the 80s or 90s or whatever, yeah.
Because his mom used to beat him as a child, yeah?
Yeah.
So now he has the money, he has the power. So this time, I think she questioned him on something. He was like, shut up, bitch.
It was so, after the thing. I don't know if it was like a basketball game, right?
Mm.
And then a bunch of people like rushed the space and people died. And like the game didn't even end up happening.
Mm.
And it was like, that's even before the money and the power. Like
when he's starting up now, when he's
getting away with that
was
the thing. I feel like if he didn't get away with that, he would have been like a more level headed person.
Mm.
But after getting away with that, he's like, oh, I can kill people.
Mm.
It's fine.
Yeah,
yeah.
Can get away with shit. Like that dude is some filthy shit. But then
50 was saying there's more. Like,
yeah, 50 was saying there's more. Yeah,
there's more. What?
Like, there's more that didn't even make the documentary.
Oh yeah, he said he's gonna drop some stuff on YouTube because Netflix only wanted 4 episodes. He said he's gonna do the part about Diddy having a baby with Tupac's ex. That's gonna be on YouTube.
That's another thing that he loved. He loved things about like fucking other people's girlfriends.
Yep. Mm.
So Eric Salmon's girlfriend,
Misa.
Yes.
Yeah.
She's the one who she gave him a son. Yeah.
Justin. Yeah.
Yeah, Justin. And you had the shit where he'd have like, I think they implied that he even have orgies with his son. Yeah. Like.
Yeah, I saw that shit, dude.
Some nasty dude, man. Like it's.
I feel like even at this point, just to keep people safe or whatever, even the sons need to be arrested, just like for preventative measures, bro.
Yeah,
just lock those niggas up. Bro. What are we waiting for?
Yeah,
and you know what's funny?
Is lineage,
you know what's funny is his firstborn is named Justin, and then his other child is named King.
Mm.
So who do you think is his favorite? Clearly. He has a favorite.
Justin. I don't know.
Justin. No, you named a nigga Justin.
Mm.
And this other one is King.
Mm.
King.
You know what I'm talking about?
King.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, how do you do, like, what the fuck are you thinking?
Yeah. Oh, King Combs.
Yeah.
King, yeah. Mm.
That's like me naming
like a prince or something.
That's like me naming my child Steven. Mm. And then I have another child and I call him the greatest.
Mm.
Imagine how Steven's gonna feel.
Yeah. Hey, Konene, so na cheki, unachiki kitu nimekalia ni very comfortable And saizi kuna vile tume upgrade studio. So kikama pa kwa studio utapata kuna vile kuna like different cupboards and the furniture just looks really good. And that's courtesy of Best Furniture. Best Furniture wako located wapi? Wako located along the Eastern Bypass. Next to Hopkins Hospital. Alafu, apart from kukumekia very good furniture, another thing that they do is you can pay on delivery. So, unangoja nini? Majuzi nakungalikisema that I've been getting busy lately, so ilibidi nibaki nime upgrade kitanda. And all I can say is, yu kitanda haujai kuji na soundtrack. Hutasumbua watu. Yeah. So, changamka jo. Best furniture jo. Yeah. Cheki ule studio ni nguvu, eh? Acheki. And uki baki umereach out to Best Furniture, usahau, iko nene. Is the guarantee. Chikigira yanaitua Ian squeezy wane. Haika Ian comfortable. Na ule nakaga iko comfortable mba. Best furniture. Iko nene.
Yeah, but damn, that was a good documentary.
Yeah.
But have you seen Jarul? Jarul is trying to, like now,
Jarul is
bring
right.
his fight to 50.
I mean, like, I guess, again, it's the same thing. Like, I don't, like, 50 Cent doesn't care about those victims.
Yeah.
And Jarul has had beef with 50 for years. So I feel like if it was anybody else who made the doc, who was also like abusive, Jarul wouldn't have said anything.
Yeah.
But it's hip hop. It's life. People just want to win and come out on the right side of things. So it's whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So now, born in 98. So what sort of hip hop were you listening to for you to end up on Mos Def? Because I expected you to be more of a, maybe J. Cole. Type of guy.
I
expect
think,
you to quote J. Cole on a random day, not Mos Def. Yeah.
I think Mos Def is one of like top five greatest rappers ever.
Yeah.
When I was like 14, I went on to like a deep dive of like, you know, Common, KRS-One, Mos Def and stuff. Like I've never been like in tune or like tapped into like the mainstream stuff.
Yeah.
Not because I'm like, oh, I'm above. I'm just like, I just, like, I don't, I guess it's like, I'm intentional like with where I put my time.
Mm-hmm.
So when I found out about like Mos Def and stuff, I was like, I've been hooked since I was 14 years old.
Mm.
Yeah, I guess just because like, I guess I get to exist in the same time as the internet. So like I'm not confined to what, like, you know, radio club music and stuff.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay, because that has reminded me, like, this week my album of the week has been Resurrection, Common.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. So Common has this song. It's Poor Man versus Poor Man. Yeah. Rich Man versus
is
Poor
it a
Man.
New one?
Do you know that song? No. Resurrection is 31 years old, 1994, yeah.
Okay, you're resurrecting it.
Yeah, I'm resurrecting it. So there's this story where he gives a story of a black man, a white man, and a Chinese man. Where the black man, he was poor. The Chinese man, so they used to meet at the store of the Chinese man.
Yeah.
And then the white man would just put the black dude through bullshit. And it's just somehow I found myself listening to like a lot of old school hip hop.
Yeah.
So, like, I think it was by the day we are shooting, now it was on Thursday, that is. My wife found me listening to Exhibit. And she's asking, like, which rapper is this? I'm telling her Exhibit. Like, which Exhibit?
The nigga from like, Pimp My Ride?
Yeah. I'm like, this is the Exhibit before you guys fucked it up for the rest of us. You know,
yeah.
So it was that album, 40 Days and 40 Nights. I don't know if you listen to it. You ever listen to
is
it?
Is that the one with X?
Paparazzi? No. X was after he went mainstream.
That's the first Exhibit album I listened to.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Then you need to listen to the first two.
I will, yeah. I love Exhibit.
Speed of Life
mm-hmm.
and 40 Days and 40 Nights. So that's 40 Days and 40 Nights has that song, Handle Your Business Before Your Business Handle You.
Oh, okay.
So that's the one, procrastination like masturbation, you're fucking yourself. So yeah.
Which album does he call himself the Black John McClane?
The same album.
Oh.
With liquor on his brain. Yes. Mr. Black Bruce Willis, please don't kill us.
Oh, shit. Dude, Exhibit is so dope. I feel like he's very underrated.
Yeah,
Exhibit. He's on Marshall Mathers LP, the first one. There's that song, Bitch Please, with Snoop, Exhibit.
Yeah, yeah. That's
Exhibit
a good
handles business.
Get on your motherfucking knees. That was the first song that now took him to the mainstream.
Mm.
Yes. So when that came out, we were still like, but to me, those first two albums, At the Speed of Life and 40 Days and 40 Nights, underrated albums. Those two before he went mainstream. Do I still respect the mainstream exhibit, yes. Yeah. I understood why he had to go there. But when people mention like classic hip-hop albums, the albums I get pissed off when people don't mention. Mm. So At the Speed of Life, Exhibit, 40 Days, 40 Nights, Das Effects, Hold It Down.
Hold It Down.
Like, have you ever listened to Das Effects?
I haven't.
Go listen to Hold It Down, 1995 yeah. album. That shit is dope. Like right now it's 30 years old. And when I listen to that album, sometimes I even get chills. Like that's how dope it is.
That's, like, that's 30 years. Fucking just good music, man. Mm. I'm trying to remember. There's Exhibit did a like a super group type situation with Be Real.
Yeah. So they have a new album coming out. They're called Serial Killers, I think.
Mm. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. So they have a new album. See, then he posted a verse this week and it's dope. Even Be Real posted the, like a verse from that upcoming album.
I wasn't even aware of this, actually. I remember Serial Killers was when I was in high school is when I found out about them. I didn't know they were coming out with something
new. Yeah, they have a new thing coming up. Yeah,
Be Real is also really fucking dope.
Yeah,
Be Real is.
Be Real
like Cypress
did...
Cypress Hill, like shit. I have the legacy, man. Like over 30 years in the game. Like over 33 years.
Be Real did a like a super, super group with the guitarist, the drummer, and the... And the bassist for Rage Against the Machine, they were, you know, like they've done Rage and then they did Audio Slave and then now they did Prophets of Rage. So it's the guitarist, the drummer, and the bassist. And then it was Be Real from Cypress Hill, Chuck D from Public Enemy, and DJ Flex from Public Enemy.
Oh, okay.
That was in. They did one album like the first time like Trump was running.
Mm-hmm.
It was fucking insane, dude. Mm. The guitarist for that band actually. He's Kenyan. He's half. His dad is Kenyan, and Tom Morello.
Yeah,
his dad was like the first Kenyan ambassador to the States, and he's like Uhuru Kenyatta's cousin or something.
Yeah. I think I heard something. Like that. Mm. Okay. So, which weird rappers do you listen to? By weird, I mean rappers that the average guy does not listen to. If you move away from Common, Black Thought, Mos Def. Because we were just talking about, the two of us were talking about this rapper. We won't call him weird, but he's underground. So a lot of people don't know him. He's called Blueprint. You know him?
I don't think so.
So Blueprint has this style. Like, it's for the guys who love like complex rhyme schemes, they'll say his style is simple. Mm-hmm. But he's dope. And he knows how to make albums. I don't think I've ever listened to a Blueprint album and been like, it's not a dope album.
Is he
like,
younger?
He knows how to make albums. Nah. I think right now he's in his 40s. Yes?
Okay. Mm.
So he knows how to make albums. So this year, like one of my favorite albums has been Vessel. So his album is called Vessel.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have a group called Atmosphere. Do you know Atmosphere?
Yeah, I know Atmosphere.
Yeah. So they have another, their new album for this year was called Gestures. Those are my top two albums for this year. Gestures and... Nas has just dropped by the time we're doing this, so I'm here to listen to the Nas album.
Nas in premiere.
Yeah, but so far...
Oh my God, I'm excited for that.
Yeah. So far, Gestures, Atmosphere, and Vessel, Blueprint. I just got him onto that shit.
Yeah,
Came here quoting Blueprint.
Yeah, it's a dope album. It's not complicated rhyme scheme. You can almost predict like what is going to rhyme with next. But the fact that
dope.
It lays it so perfectly and spot on, and then the timeliness of it,
yeah,
like just hits you, like
the beats, the rhymes, yeah. And then
it's not that aggressive, but it's that
it's like chill
flow,
yeah.
You could like,
he has like a chill voice,
yeah. Plus, he produces his own shit. You know that,
Primarily,
So like he does beats and rhymes, like he's.
Yeah.
So even I think he was it on a previous album where he did that song as a dedication to Pete Rock, Dr. Dre. Like he was mentioning them, like such those producer MCs. So it's really dope. You need to check him out.
Yeah. I will.
Mm. So which rapper do you listen to? That's weird.
I love hip hop and I love rap music, but I listen to so much different. Like I listen to like a lot of like rock and blues and stuff.
Oh, okay.
So I haven't listened to like a very niche rapper since I was in like high school.
Oh, okay.
And the last rapper that was like kind of like I guess odd or weird was Hobson.
Oh yeah,
Hobson. And even now, like looking back, I'm like I can't believe I was listening to fucking Hobson.
Mm.
Like he has some corny energy.
Yeah.
Ill Mind of Hobson, that series. I mean, he could rap.
Yeah, like Ill Mind of Hobson 7 was the one about religion or something.
I think that was 6. Yeah. And then 7 was the one about like college.
Mm.
When he goes, did the man who invented college go to college? And I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Okay.
No, I was listening to, there's a song by Mos Def that has been on heavy rotation. Eh?
Mm.
You know, I have a playlist for the shower.
Yeah.
Like, I have to motivate myself
to not be funky.
To go shower.
So there's one that, you know, I just let Spotify to, out of my the algorithm that I've created, it just picks up, and Ian, this is a suggestion for you for the shower. So one of the songs was Miss Fat Booty.
And she came with the same type frame, type of girl, giving out the fake cell phone and name. Yeah, that shit is insane.
As so fat, you can see it from the front. I was like,
she spotted me like paparazzi, shot me a glance. Oh my God.
But I think there's this one line that when I finally got a meal, I smashed her like an Idaho potato. So my wife only hears me like laughing. We're taking a shower. I'm like, who's with you?
Mos Def is also very funny.
Very funny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A lot of rappers. I'm friends with some rappers and they're all very funny.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, because even like another really funny guy used to be Common.
Mm-hmm.
Like Common would have those, like he rhyme like a nigga with his nipples pierced. He used to have those lines. That's funny. Man. Yeah. Redman has always
you
been
funny.
You
remind me like schools on Redman, Sunday.
Yes.
No class.
Redman. So, Eminem is hilarious.
Yeah.
There's a lot of funny rap. Because like, it's like when you write jokes, especially like for comedy, like sometimes like you'll get super technical and you're like, okay, am I doing a metaphor or a simile or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
And that's all like when you're doing like battle rapping, especially, all metaphors and similes. Like my da-da-da is like this, is da-da-da like this. And it's just like comparing different stuff, smashed Idaho potato, things that don't belong together, like making it work.
Yeah.
I feel like it's the same skill. And like with rappers, they're tasked with making it like sound cool without just like being free form and just like being chill or hilarious about it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Wacha ni interrupt show kukuremind kuwa Lemfi inakupatia a chance to win a flight to East Africa. And all you have to do ni send money home na pia refer a friend. Alafu kisha refer a friend, una stand a chance ya kuwin a $2,000 flight voucher. Na usisahau jo, kifanya history yote, promo code ni Ekonene. Usisahau pia, like on your first $50 transaction, unabaki ume get a sign-up reward ya $20. So, damn, cheki jo iyo. And in the process, una support Ekonene. So, usisahau kutumia promo code Ekonene. Una cheki. So, yo, unataka, yo, nini, like a $2,000 flight voucher. Very simple, bila nasema. Tumia promo code Ekonene. Alafu, send $50, at least $50. Sindio? Utapata bado your $20 sign-up reward. Alafu utajipatia chance ya kushinda hiyo. Na usahau hiyo ni festive season. Hii compare kuna shindo inaendelea mpaka lini? Inaendelea between 8th to 8th December to January 8th, 2026. So baki umechangamuka. Yeah, haraka haraka jo. Sindio? Yeah? Wacha so turudi kwa show.
But yeah, let's move away from rap and talk about so I don't know if you watched the KRG video. There's this video that KRG posted, yes. And he's just moving around. He's in his car. And he has a lot of money. And the first thing that came to my mind was, how good is this idea? And for how long is this idea, like, I don't know if I'm going to say sustainable, but you understand, where you're moving around in a very poor country with a lot of money in the car. So how long before this turns into a disaster? Try to look for the
view. I mean, that definitely sounds like poor country behavior. Mm. It sounds like new money.
Yeah.
Old money is more quiet. Well, they say what? They say like what? Like rich is loud and wealth whispers or something.
Oh, okay. Mm. Never heard that. Yeah.
Mm.
Oh, shit. I've never heard that.
Yeah, man. So, salam zifike Tanzania. Wa Tanzania, mimi nakuja hapo na nataka tumalize hiyo beef ambayo yupo katikati ya wasanii na wananchi. So expect me anytime soon, mimi naingia hapo alafu mimi nawaletea wasanii na waweka vizuri kwanza kama Diamond, lazima nimletee kitu kidogo kwa sababu sijamuona akifanya show tuko December na sijasikia any show.
So how much money do you think this is? Like, let's try and count. I'm seeing like 1 million, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I'm seeing at least 7 million, yes?
Do you know what my favorite part about this is? Mm. Is it says liked by Mulamwa.
Mulamwa, yeah.
This nigga saw this and he said nice.
So let's finish the video.
So lazima nimlete zawadi kutoka kwa Buga. Mambo ikuwe best in the world. Tena nimpe na kolabo. Yama na wasani kadhaa pia ni wape kolabo ili waweze kuingia mjini. Ni walete mavitu mapocho pocho kutoka Nairobi, Kenya. Yama na alafu tumalize hiyo beef between wananchi na wasani. Ndio muweze kukua best in the world kama mimi hapa. And then kitu ingine, nimefurahi vile mmefanya inchi kakua na amani na utulivu. So mina ingia hapo, muda si mrefu, Buga, best in the world.
So,
I didn't know there was beef.
What's your reaction to this? Like, when you watch this video, what comes to your mind?
Well, the one thing I thought, why, like, is there a difference between Wanainchi and Wasani?
Yeah.
What's the difference?
Wanainchi is citizens. Wasani citizens. Is artists.
But Wasani are also citizens.
Yeah. Oh, I think it just means, I think it's just addressing the artists, I guess.
Because he said beef.
So during the campaign thing. Period, so a lot of Tanzanian artists praised the government well.
Yeah, so they are being cancelled left, right, and center. Yes.
So there was a disconnect between, you know, common Wanainchi and the Wasanis.
I'm not a fan of like that, like artists making themselves be like, oh, we're not. There's like a lot of comedians,
yeah,
not specifically in Kenya, but just like worldwide. There's a lot of comedians who refer to non-comedians as civilians, and I'm just like, but
yes, civilian.
But we
too.
Are all the same thing. So yeah, that's. I mean, like number one, like it's a weird. I understand, like there can be groups and separations and stuff, but I wouldn't go as far as to say that one of them is the citizens or civilians, and we're also that.
Yeah.
Kind of strange, but also like, yeah, I mean, this isn't necessarily stuff that I engage with or like I come across when I'm online and stuff.
Yeah,
I just when we were off camera, I was like, oh, is this a Kenyan musician or something?
He's a Kenyan musician.
I don't know, like I'm not hating, I just I don't know a song by him. I don't.
Oh shit, yeah. Where was that song? He had a big song like Nadufla. Damn, it's even now escaped me. KRG,
does he watch this? KRG, if you're watching this, I'm a huge fan.
Yeah.
I love your song. What's it called? I love that shit.
So, but when you see that video, like what comes to your mind? Because when I see that, and then I think about we live in a third world country where people are living on less than a dollar a day.
Mm-hmm.
You post yourself driving around with at least seven million shillings. That's what, on the lower side, would have counted. I feel like you are quoting disaster. Like, I even commented, and I told him he's quoting disaster. And the reason behind that is, it only takes one person, because it's not the first time he's done it. He's done it so many times.
Yeah.
And
every time is like, whenever he takes a break from social media, he just comes back with some stash.
Yes.
How is he making this money? It's not music.
He says that he makes the money from what? I think it
contracts.
From like building contracts or some shit.
Building contracts.
Yeah. So he's building roads. Like, I interviewed him, and when I interviewed him, he said that, what did he say? That he used to be involved in the trucks that were distributing the sand for building roads. Yeah. So he said that a lot of people, of course, claim wash. Other things that he says he himself. His grandpa was rich, so he got that from his grandpa. So I don't know. I don't even think it's wash. I just think he has money. It's new money, number one. And apart from it being new money, he's just tempting fate.
People whose grandparents were rich don't behave like that.
Oh shit! Okay.
People like if you have like generational wealth.
Mm-hmm.
You're not flexing on Instagram. You probably have like two posts on Instagram.
Oh shit! Yeah, Jomo, the Jomo, the grandson, yeah.
He has to post on Instagram.
No, I'm just saying, okay. Like, you never see that. Oh. You never see him posting money. Yes. You never see them posting money.
There's people like, they try and look rich. And there's people like, there's this picture that goes around every once in a while, like on social media. And it'll like compare like how rappers dress. Like, oh, look, this guy's wearing Louis Vuitton and Gucci and blah, blah, blah.
Mm.
And it's so expensive. And look at this billionaire. He's wearing a black t-shirt and some jeans. And it's a much cheaper outfit. But that's not true. What you're not seeing is the brands that the billionaire is wearing, way more expensive than Gucci. But it's just like a plain, nice, comfortable fabric and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I have a friend, Ahmed Mira. He's a comedian here in Nairobi. He's between Nairobi and America. Mm. He met Chris Rock and he was like, you know, I saw Chris Rock and he just like smelled rich.
Mm.
Like, he's not wearing like, you know, like, normal, like flexing or like, you know, rapper shit. He's just like in very like comfortable, casual, not casual, but like, you know, just like comfortable shit. And he's like, but you could just like sense like a rich aura. And that's not a rich aura. That's like a look at me. Mm. I just got this money aura.
Damn.
Yeah.
Because now I think I watch a lot of movies. So the first thing that came to my mind was, but before even the movies, there was this story that happened in the US. Yes. So it was armed robbers beat Ivan Mann and steal his 600K Richard Mille watch. 600K, that's close to how much? Like 100 million Kenyan shillings? Times 130, around 80 million Kenyan shillings, yes? Then a trio of armed robbers beat an Ivan man and stole his 600,000 Richard Mille watch during a violent confrontation on Wednesday morning. Alafu, he said, I honestly thought I was going to die. Mm. The victim, who wanted to stay anonymous, said, I thought they were going to shoot me. The man believed they were waiting for him in a parking garage off Main Street. When he opened the door to his Bentley, the suspect surrounded him with their guns drawn. The victim believes they were after his exclusive Richard Mille Nadal watch after he'd posted a picture of it to social media a few days before the robbery. And I remember, like, every time I see KRG doing this, this is the story that comes to mind, that you're tempting fate. You are tempting fate. And there's nothing as easy as robbing a man in a moving car. How would you rob a man in a moving car?
Nigga, first of all, who was fighting on Wednesday morning?
Oh, shit.
It's 8 a.m. and you're fighting, nigga.
Yeah, like for a 600K watch? Yeah.
Bro, that's 4 p.m. behavior, bro.
Yeah. What are you doing? I think they were just waiting. Like, you. Wow.
Yeah, you know what time it is.
Yeah. So how would you rob a man in a moving car? And we are not endorsing that behavior. We're just talking about the risk that he's taking. I feel like it's stupid. Don't do it, especially cash. Don't walk around with cash. If you need to show us that you have money, show us your bank account balance. You know? Because I can't rob you of your bank account balance. You know, there's too much work involved in that.
Yeah, you need a fucking Yahoo email address.
Yeah, but cash in a moving car, considering physics, how physics works.
Mm-hmm.
You know how physics works, yeah?
An object energy is not stays
in it's yes. transferred.
It's transferred.
Oh, okay. I get you.
All I need to know is which car you're driving. Kidogo tu. Because you don't see it coming.
Mm.
And the minute umeanguka, if the money doesn't fly out, yes, what will happen? They can come and still rob you. You won't have time because I think most probably he's strapped. So he's lying to himself that he's strapped. That's enough. That's not enough. If you're in a moving vehicle, and let's say even they push you and the money falls out, you think Kenyans are going to leave you with that money? And if any Kenyan took the money away from you, I'd understand.
Because
there's no way someone is seeing a million shillings and their kid is hungry. They're hungry. They're barely surviving. Mm. And you've been showing off that you have so much money that you can walk around with all this money. So you're just, it's just a disaster waiting to happen.
Defend and himself, saying, we're just chasing paper.
Yeah.
Dude, I just said this last night. I was talking to someone last night and I was saying, when you see someone on Instagram stories like flexing a lot of money and stuff, you should be able to say, yo, send me like 2,000 shillings. Send me 3,000 shillings. Yeah. So like, if you're gonna like, again, this is just like people like want to seem rich and stuff. It's not about like even like, it's not enough that he's rich.
Mm.
You have to know he's rich.
Yeah.
He needs you to think he's got it like that. So it's like, okay, now you've made it our problem. And if anything happens to you, then see, you've made it our problem. Mm. So whatever.
Plus also another thing is the Kenya police. You know, the Kenya police will rob you also. They don't get paid enough.
Of course.
They'll rob you and then investigate the case. And you know, they know how to rob you because, of course, they've dealt with Safaricom. So they know how Safaricom monitors phones and all that shit. So when they show up for you, they won't even have their phones. They rob you and they'll be the first on the scene to investigate.
Mm.
And that case never gets solved.
Chambazi natumia gari gani?
Mm?
Don't iko wapi? You any highway gun? So they just need to call their.
It's just gossip. They just gossip.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Which avenue is he on? And what time is he getting back? You're going to use the road, yes?
Yeah.
You're not using planes and whatever. Mm. So they just call their friends, maybe plan an ambush, and then now investigate the ambush.
But there's something you said that I found to be interesting. That thing of, you said rich is loud and?
Rich is loud and wealth whispers.
Oh, damn. Mm. Shit.
Even poor.
And now this is the question that I have. If you have all this money, why do people need to know you have it? I've never understood that thing. I've never understood the thing of, I have money, you have to. Because I can know you have money. Even, like, I can just meet you. Like, remember what you said, sent. Because there's a scent that you'll know this is not the normal, even cologne. This is some other shit.
Yeah, like this is good soap.
Yeah. So there's that. And then there's, if you need to post on social media, if you just even post your wall, I can know like there's some shit. Like you're coming from money, yes?
Yeah.
And also, the easiest thing is the car that you drive. So we've seen this dude drive Range Rovers and what. Why does he need to show us cash? This is the point that I don't get. And maybe I'm going to look for KRG so I can explain to me as maybe a player hater. Like, why do you need the cash? Why do you need to, in a moving vehicle? And don't forget, you're not using the road alone. Because I think another mistake we made is when we're talking about the car, we talk about him being robbed intentionally. You can be robbed because of an accident.
Oh, yeah.
You know that?
Yeah.
Like, you have your cash there. There's a matatu guy doing his own bullshit, comes, hits you, you lose control, your car is upside down. Kenyans, the first thing that they come to do is to save you. Then I've come to save you and I see 7 million shillings. This is life-changing shit. Remember, you told me you have so much money. This is your pocket money. Yeah. I'm saving
That's
myself
important.
From poverty.
Remember, you told me.
Yes, you told me.
You told
money.
Me. Yeah, it's not like I found out. Mm. You made it my business.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm saving the money.
Like what was
I love, so, that American shit. I'm saving the money. I ain't saving you money. I'm saving the money. Like, damn, yeah.
Because did you watch the pictures that during Saitoti's crash site?
Mm.
What was there?
Yeah, there was money also.
Some stash of burnt money.
Yeah.
So they were like, oh, Saitoti, rest in peace.
Yeah.
But they were eulogizing the burnt money. You could like, your pesa out. Yeah, because there was some stash of
And you can't blame them. You know, a lot of people will say.
Oh, my God.
A lot of people will say that. Because, let me ask you that. David, like, what happens? You see someone has crashed. They've barely survived, but there's 7 million shillings there. What are you saving first? And you're alone. It's just you and this person. What are you saving first when no one is looking?
It depends. What day of the month is it, you know?
Okay. You at least, it depends with what day of the month, because I know what I'm doing. I know a lot of people will say that I'm heartless, but 7 million shillings would be life-changing for me.
Of course, yeah.
This would be life-changing.
I get that. Honestly, I get that.
Yeah, you perform CPR.
Can even invest in... remember?
No, I'll take the 7 million shillings, I'll go to medical school, and then come save this thing.
Because that reminds me.
You become a trained professional.
Yeah. We had Abisai. Abisai is the guy who won the SportPesa jackpot. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How much?
So this guy won 231?
238 or something.
Oh, shit.
221. 221. Yes, 221 million. Yes. So we are talking to him and he said that he one of the businesses he runs right now is a pig farm. So I'll take the 7 million shillings and I'll have a pig called KRG, another one called Don. And I'll still honor you. I'll still honor you, you know. So, and I'd want, if KRG watches this, I'd want him to know that we are not, we don't wish you bad. We're just telling you don't.
We understand fate. It's clouded here.
Don't tempt fate. Be, like, fate is.
Yeah. I think it's not a KRG thing. I think it's a human thing, man. Like, ego and hubris and wanting to be seen. There's like, you know, like, these are all like needs you have, and unmet needs will always show up in a different way. Like, there's that's unhealthy behavior to want to be seen, like, in that level of the wealth and stuff. But there's also a lot of unhealthy behavior that even us three here, we do. It's not as publicized as, and not as obvious. And maybe it's obvious to some other people the same way this is obvious to us.
Yeah.
There's stuff that, you know, we have blind spots and stuff. Like, we're all fucking up.
Yeah. My blind spot is I jack off once in a while.
Once in a while.
I don't go, like, I always... There's this thing that I like quoting. Like, we had a guest here. It's called Fares Karaoke, and he said one thing. Like, one thing we forget about success is the part that luck plays in success. And he said, like, one of the biggest luck that some of us have is the parents, some of the families we're born into. Yes.
So country.
With that in mind, I always look at it from the perspective of if I'm this wealthy, like KRG. I know how many people are struggling. I won't rub it in their faces. You understand? I feel like there's a certain level of rubbing it in your faces that, you know what, you're not working hard enough. You're not trying enough. You're not doing what enough. People try everything. You'll find people with, like, there's even a guy that I interviewed here. He's called Agar. Agar has, I think, a degree in nuclear science. But then where was he born? In a third world country. What, how many job opportunities are there in Kenya compared to maybe first to move to the US or move to, but you see now luck yes yes, the only nuclear here the only nuclear here is your family, you understand? So when you look at all this, what the level that luck plays, and then I see you doing all this shit, like trying to show people they're not working hard enough, you know.
But that's like for you, like you, that thought comes into your head because you can, like, it's you, it's been made aware to you that people are struggling. So you can have like that level of empathy. Some people, like, they don't even know how bad it is for like most of the world.
Yeah.
Some people are like, they just like have blinders and they're just like, and really, like, you can only just like worry about yourself. And even like, if you want to worry about other people, you have to take care of yourself first. And it's like, again, it's always just going to be like people are just going to keep fucking up. And there's always going to be different perspectives and stuff. But like you have a perspective that is, I guess, like more empathetic to both sides. I feel like you're showing empathy to KRG and to the people that he's flexing on.
Yeah.
But some people like don't even know to do that. Yeah.
So Ian, who are you saving? 7 million shillings. KRG ka, he's just been involved. He's still dazed and confused. He can't reach for his weapon because I'm assuming he has a weapon. Yeah, the money or KRG?
The money.
Damn, man. I think KRG, if KRG watches this, he won't understand. Because I think sometimes we detach ourselves from reality so much that we don't know that given a situation, 99 out of 100 Kenyans, even rich Kenyans, will save the money.
Especially, you know,
it
rich
happens
Kenyans.
All the time.
Yes. That's how they got rich.
Yeah, that's how they got rich. You have to be heartless.
Yeah, dude.
You remember when we were interviewing this guy who does impressions of Ruto? He says he resides in Nakuru.
Yes.
And where he stays, this, you know, business has been booming. There are a lot of shops, you know, opening up in the area because the area is a black spot. So they get their goods from the accident scenes.
Yikes. Actually, you know,
like, there's a whole town.
And here, don't forget, this is hard cash. This is peso tussling.
Like, damn, where
we're
am
talking
I going
about
to get Hanan?
We're talking about money. But like, even like when like a car, a truck with like beer.
Yeah.
Everybody's taking the beer. So if you think, okay, you think we'll say like, yes, beer, but no money. You know how much beer you can buy with 7 million?
Yeah.
I feel like it goes chaos. Try and imagine. Poop, poop. If you're the first guy with your first $1 million, people are running after you. So you have to, make sure that you have your nudie. And then you have to leave the neighborhood.
Yeah.
It would just be crazy, man. Like, you're just there trying to look at the number plate. Like, what's the number plate?
Yeah, man. So if you walk away with... If you walk away with $7 million from an accident scene,
you don't take $7 million. If you have $7 million, just take like $4 million.
Yeah, because
you need to like have
you got rich by accident.
Yeah. Oh shit! Got rich by accident.
Nice.
Yeah, that's a good
but here's my advice: don't take this. If he has $7 million, leave a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay. Don't take all of it, because then they'll know he was robbed. Nobody knows how much he had except for you.
Yeah.
So just leave a little.
Oh, Kierja has just inferred the whole movie.
Yeah, David, now I've taken your advice. You know what I'll do? What I'll do is, if there's a little fire somewhere, you save him, and then you take like 2 G's and throw in the fire. And make sure. Then you still stop the fire and you leave those two burnt notes there. You're like, the rest just got burnt.
Yeah, burn some cash. Yeah. Like,
and then this will be the funny thing. I think if the Kenya police come and find him like still holding on to like $3 million, by the time he goes to Hosi, is he hearing, oh, we recovered 200,000? He's there like, what the f-? But I think it's tempting fate, and because I've seen like you didn't know him before this, yeah?
No,
he's posted like I think 10 of those such videos, like 10.
Mm.
And I think this is the first time we've decided like, let's react. Like, you're tempting shit. You don't know. Like, life happens. You know, life happens.
Because it doesn't even have to be an accident. His car can disappear. He's Kenya, man.
Like, yeah.
Didn't I just park my car here?
Is he 100% Kenyan?
Yeah, 100% Kenyan. Yeah. Murima.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
There's Murima. So much money in Murima. It's just there.
From our region.
The two of you struggling, man.
Have you ever been to the States, by the way?
Yeah, I did.
Yes, you were saying like that. Hey, I didn't ask you that. Like, you lived in the States for how long?
I was in California in 2005.
Yeah. Till?
2000. How old was I when I was? I'm trying to do the math.
Oh, 2005, so then you're 7, yeah?
And then when I was 12, so what is that?
Five years.
5 years.
Okay.
And then California and Washington.
Mm.
Yeah.
Because I think that also helps with like mastering the American accent if you go there early enough. Because I met this girl, this was last year. There's a girl that I met and interviewed. She's called Chico. And Chico went there when she was 8. And I remember, like, because you can know, like, when you're talking to a Kenyan in America, you can always know when they've just learned the American accent, you know? And then you can know people who've actually, you understand? So I remember for her, like, when she was giving me this story of how, when she was a kid in school, she went to this school that had a lot of white kids, and she was being called a knuckle dragger.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
You understand why?
Gorilla shit.
Yeah,
dude.
Ape shit. Saying that. Like, shit.
They went ape shit.
Okay. They went ape shit on her, bro.
Yeah.
Damn. So but there's something you also said. Eh? Is it something?
Peripheral.
That's peripheral.
Peripheral?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. But keep remembering, peripheral.
We murder.
You're still thinking about that? That
was like 30 minutes ago. I'm there like, shit, man.
Sorry, my bad.
Yeah. So, but before you continue, so you have, what are you launching?
Dude, I just shot, I shot this documentary / mini special a year ago with MTV.
Oh,
and
MTV?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's called Searching for the Boy Child, and it's up on their YouTube already.
Mm.
We interviewed like a bunch of different like figures in like the manosphere. We interviewed Robert Burale, Mike Mashira. Some of my family members are in it.
Is Kibe there?
No.
Kibe is the king of the manosphere.
The production people were like, let's not go too crazy.
Yeah.
So they didn't have Kibe in there.
Kibe is too crazy. Yeah?
I would have loved to talk to Kibe. Because obviously like there's like, you know, like we're talking about like how much how much of an important role luck plays in your success or your life or whatever. And there's a version of a story that we have the correct opinions.
Yes.
We're progressive and we're woke. We treat women as people, blah, blah, blah. But even that is luck.
Yeah.
Because like I could have been born in a place where I didn't learn these lessons or don't have these experiences. Mm-hmm. So there are people that in the documentary that I talked to and like they had the correct opinion.
Yes.
And I agreed with them. But it was nowhere near as fun as talking to Robert Burale.
Yeah.
Robert Burale was, I had such an amazing time. He was saying crazy shit. Like he said he wants to be president of the country. And then he said if he was president, he will ban LGBTQIA.
Oh, okay.
And I'm like, how can you ban someone from getting hard when you see a guy?
Mm-hmm.
It's impossible. I had so much fun talking to that nigga. And there's some comedy in it. And it's called Searching for the Boy Child. If you search that on YouTube, on MTV's page, it'll pop up.
Mm.
But when is this coming out?
Yeah, Saturday.
Saturday?
Yeah.
So if you watch this on Saturday during the day, I'm having a screening on Saturday night at Nairobi Laugh Kitchen.
Mm.
It's going to be a new comedy club in Westlands.
Okay.
We're going to have the screening. I'm going to do some stand-up. I'm going to host it. There's going to be some funny friends doing stand-up as well. We'll have a Q&A and a discussion about it. And it's going to be pretty cool.
Oh, starts what time?
7:30.
Okay.
Yeah.
Till?
10.
Till 10.
Yeah.
Okay. So, and you said it? Where?
Nairobi Laugh Kitchen. I don't know if that's going to be available like on GPS or Bolt or Uber or whatever, but do Suave Kitchen and Social House. I think. Yeah, yeah. It's next to the expressway, next to Kempinski. Yeah.
Oh, next to Kempinski. Okay. Yeah. So make sure Matt okay.
Yeah.
It'd be dope. Yeah.
Yeah. All the summer bunnies and all the Kenyans, of course.
Mm-hmm. Come say hi.
Come say hi. To be, yeah.